Chapter 8. Octavian watched on a small, crackling, monochrome pict feed set into the communications bank as the battle swung in favour of the word-bearers. On another screen, a number was blinking. 1 minute and 35 seconds. 34. 33. Too long, he thought. Since the start of the conflict, the 17th Legion forces had controlled the flow of communications. Some viral, invasive scrap code had been unleashed on the defenders, rendering the vast majority of their Vox transmissions indecipherable and garbled. Worse, sometimes the comms appeared to work clearly, but the orders transmitted were false. The original message twisted and reworked, resulting in several decisive losses, until Chapter Master Decimus had ordered them disabled completely, relying only on short-ranged closed transmissions. Only two communications arrays on the planet had remained immune to the viral scrap code. One of those had been in the city of Massilia, situated at the heart of the planet's single continent. The second was the long-range transmitter hub in which he now stood, the command center lying deep beneath the mountains. Now, it was the only way that they could communicate with anything in orbit or beyond. 36 hours earlier, Decimus had settled on one desperate last throw of the dice. The enemy had thought that the entire fleet had been destroyed. They were wrong. One vessel remained. The immense Righteous Fury, pride of the Sector. It had been crippled in the devastating void battle, but it was not yet done. Without engine power, it was orbiting the planet, along with the wreckage and detritus of the fleet. The word-bearers had been thorough in their executions, but not thorough enough in checking if any of the bodies already there still had a pulse. Spinning slowly and orbiting the planet once every 8.5 hours, it had merely been arithmetic to determine the precise moment when the ship would be in the right position. The sound of the desperate battle beyond the sealed pneumatic doors was muted, but Octavian felt every death like a lance through his soul. The floor shuddered each time the Contemptor stepped. It would not be long before it fell. Korolos deserved that peace, but Octavian hoped more than anything that he could hold out just a little longer. 45 seconds. 44. 43. It had been a shock to realize that they had been followed. A sense of frustration had beset the shamed ultramarines when they had realized that the word-bearers had found them, and that they may yet fail in this last redemptive task. That could not be allowed. They had been relieved when Octavian had volunteered to be the one to stay in the command center, to give the fatal order, while the others would go and stall the enemy as long as they were able. It was not a role that he relished, but it was necessary. 20 seconds. He glanced at the small screen. Word-bearers were scattered across the floor out there, but it was not enough. The black-armoured Imperial Army veterans were all slain, as were his other censured Legion brothers. Korolos stood alone. The Contemptor had killed several of the newly arrived cataphracti, but they surrounded him now like hounds around a bear. One of the Dreadnought's arms was hanging useless, and it was limping markedly. Its armour plates were hanging off in ragged sheafs where the Terminators had hacked at it with power blades and chain fists from all sides. It would not be long. 4 seconds. 3. 2. Octavian tapped a sequence on the keypad of the antiquated control panel, establishing a direct link with the Righteous Fury. The main screen remained blank.
Come on, he breathed. Come on!
He tapped another series of keys, and the screen refreshed. A grainy image of a woman's face appeared. Her eyes were hollow, and there was a hastily stitched wound on her brow. Ash, or perhaps blood, was smeared across her face. Her epaulets marked her as an admiral. Behind her, the bridge of the once hallowed ship was dark. He knew her, though he had never spoken to her himself.
There,
came her static-infused voice.
Repeat, Admiral Solentine, said Octavian. Can you hear me?
There is some interference, but yes,
said the woman on the screen. The sound was not in sync with the image, making it oddly disjointed.
Who are you? I was expecting Decimus.
I am Brother Zion Octavian. Chapter Master Decimus entrusted me with the responsibility of giving the order.
You have the authorization override?
I do.
Key it in now.
Each of the legionaries assigned to this task had memorized the authorization code. Octavian keyed in the 17-digit number.
Authorization override accepted,
said April Solentine. She rubbed a hand across her face.
This is the end, then. I had hoped it would not come to this.
She knew as well as he did that as soon as she gave the order, she was committing herself and her ship to death. Octavian glanced over at the pict feed from beyond the sealed doors behind him.
Uploading targeting coordinates, he said.
Upload connected and processing. All arming decks are ready to fire.
It needs to be done now.
We are not yet in position, Legionary Octavian.
What?
A minor complication, said Solentine. A collision. Space debris. Part of the fist of Ultramar nudged us. Nothing too bad, but it has slowed the momentum of our turn.
Will you still be able to complete this mission?
Yes, she said. We will be in position in less than 7 minutes.
7 minutes? Said Octavian. He cursed. We do not have 7 minutes.
Is there a problem, Legionary?
Yes, there is a problem. Can't you bring your ship around faster?
We are dead in the water, said the Admiral. We have no engine power, and even if we did, the enemy fleet would detect us as soon as we engage the drive motors. 7 minutes. Keep the upload feed running.
If I destroy these consoles...
Then you destroy all hope, snapped Solentine. I have no targeting guidance. All my systems are down. I need this line to stay open. With that frame of reference, I can bring the guns to bear manually. Do not let the enemy get into that room.
Octavian stared at the consoles in helpless desperation. Was this how it was going to end? In failure?
I will hold them, he said. You will have the time you need.
The hall was empty. Scaffolding was set against the walls, but it sat half-finished and unused, as if the workers had abandoned their work before it was done. Dust, masonry, and dried paint flecks covered the floor. It was not difficult to imagine that these halls had been empty for months, perhaps years. The curved ceiling was emblazoned with a faded fresco, the plasterwork beneath it crumbling and flaking. In its prime, the artwork would have been glorious. In its centre was a heroic portrayal of the Emperor, wreathed in golden light and flame, and around him were gathered stylized figures representing the Legiones Astartes. All the colours of the legions were there. Orbiting around the Emperor were the planets of the solar system, and beyond them, the constellations. Imperial ships filled the void, spreading out towards every corner of the fresco's edges. Work had commenced on its restoration, and the repainting of a handful of warriors in new legion colours. The most skilled artisans would have been brought in to duplicate the masterwork of the original and bring it back to its former glory, before their efforts had been abandoned. The stonework here had also been undergoing repairs. Tools lay scattered across the floor, and half-carved statuary stood unfinished. Huge blocks of unworked stone were trussed up with canvas and rope, and machinery lay half-hidden beneath tarpaulins, debris and dust. Perhaps the restoration had been deemed surplus to requirements, and the crews reassigned elsewhere when Dawn had begun the process of fortifying the palace. Or perhaps it had been abandoned decades earlier and forgotten amidst the bureaucracy of the council. Either way, what was important was that it was an unused old section of the palace, a lower wing that had been discarded and overlooked. It served Sor Talgron's purpose, and that was all that mattered.
This is not the way to the shuttle decks, Sor Talgron,
Volkor Reth said.
There is one last task that must be performed before we leave, Terra, honoured predicant, Sor Talgron replied. Something Lord Aurelian asked of me in person.
He asked you himself? Your star must be in the ascendant within the Legion, said Reth.
As you predicted when I was an aspirant, said Saur Talgron. I am captain of the 34th now.
You have done well, said Predicant Reth.
You taught me well.
Saur Talgron picked his way through the debris, plaster chips crunching beneath his armored boots. Reth ghosted him, stepping more lightly. The captain pulled aside a heavy canvas drop sheet, throwing up a cloud of dust. Behind it, obscured by more collapsed scaffolding and other junk, was a set of stairs. The steps were worn by time. Once they must have been frequently used. Saur Talgron descended into the gloom, and his Legion brother followed. Sound was muffled down in the low-ceiling darkness. The buzzing of Saur Talgron's armor sounded like a swarm of angry insects. Arched passages led off in different directions, but Saur Talgron walked straight. A flickering orange light in the distance drew him on. They passed carved niches and hollows, all of them blockaded by chained iron gates and ferrocrete. Volkar Reth paused beside one of them, brushing his fingertips across its seal. An eagle's head atop crossed thunderbolts.
Pre-Unity, he breathed. Well, this whole section of the Imperial Palace is old, said Saur Talgron, looking back at him.
In the darkness, his lenses gleamed like the reflective eyes of a predator.
Very old, Reth agreed.
And abandoned, said Saur Talgron, turning away.
There were those amongst the Crusader host who felt they were abandoned, said Reth. Stuck here on Terra while their legions were up there among the stars, doing what we were made to do.
And you? Did you feel that way?
Said Saur Talgron over his shoulder.
Never, said Reth. My faith in the God Emperor carried me through. As I said, I knew you were coming.
I have never held much stock in visions and prophecies, said Saur Talgron.
That doesn't mean they are not real.
Saur Talgron did not answer. He simply walked on, drawn to the flickering light ahead of them. It was clear now that it was a candle. At the end of the passage, one of the sealed archways had been opened. Lengths of chain lay spread upon the stone floor. A single wick burned within, sitting in a pool of melted red wax atop a stone block carved with intricate figures and dense lettering. The block had been pushed up against the far wall, revealing a gaping square hole where several more had been removed. Dozens of stones of all sizes were stacked low around the walls. Eight carved burial niches lined the walls. Several sets of human remains, long dead, lay upon the floor. They had clearly been dragged from the burial niches. Some had tumbled face down on the floor, while others were just pushed roughly aside, snapping their bones like twigs in the process. Those that were still recognizable as bodies were skeletal and ancient, with yellowed, dried paper skin and clumps of hair clinging to desiccated flesh. They were bedecked in ancient armor, but nevertheless bore some similarity to the plate worn by the Legiones Astartes. There were eight bodies in all, one for each of the arched niches. In their place, eight curved caskets had been placed.
Welcome, brothers, said a voice in the darkness.